Watch this. He pressed play. He pressed pause. said, about the record of ratings on any television show, and he won $110,000, $110,237. So that was first time I went into the ratings, because I believe that he cheated. But then when he pulled out the contract, I realized he never violated anything in the rules. You see what I mean?
Thank you. listen to what God says. And we can decide to come under the sound of God and use our tongue the way God wants it to be used. So that's edification. That's where God is. When we preach, how about where God is? And when they have their body, they put in their souls the opportunity. The opportunity, and I'm giving you this moment, we'll get there. It's not convicting. But I want to move closer to God. That's not that. And you do too. But if we're preaching well, God preaching is going to help us go closer to God. And it's going to help the people that may have the opportunity to preach to each week go closer to God. And so we say that it's about building up, but it's about coming to the side of God. But then notice also, it's about comfort. That word comfort, I don't know what it means to concern. But isn't it interesting also, if you go back further from the moment I saw the beginning of the day idea of coming around beside someone? All of us here as preachers, we know that the most comforting thing we can do for someone that's hurting is just go. Go and sit beside them. One of my job's friends, one of the most comforting, was when they just sat there beside him for those 7 days. And the matter is when the comfort ceased for him. And that's probably a little bit sad for maybe some of us. Listen, a family that's grieving doesn't need you to come and explain everything about their grief and everything about their pain and everything about how good God is and everything about them and them and them. You know what they need more than all of that? At that moment, they just need somebody to come and sit with them and listen and learn and pray and cry and listen some more and learn. They need someone to sit beside them. But we understand that as it relates to the physical aspect of going beside someone who's grieving. But how does that relate to preaching? Listen, we don't make this up. This is what he says here. He says, I want somebody that can stand before the audience, and when I'm speaking terms that can't be understood, I want somebody that can relate to the people. I want them to be able to bring the word of God, and I want it to help them build up those people in the way God would want them built up. I want it to be caught up beside where God is on every topic and every word of mouth.
And I want somebody that can be able to comfort people as they do it.
We cannot pat ourselves on the back saying, well, I'm a sound preacher, thinking that my job is to beat people up every Sunday. That is not our job. Our job is to hold up a living God who stands where he stands, and we have to be sound. I want them to stand with him. The moment you realize every Sunday we are preaching to the saints. We are preaching to the child of God. We are preaching to the best people that have walked this earth to death. We are preaching to the cream of the crop.
If you were here last night, you heard a lesson of comfort. You heard a lesson that was powerful. Why did our brother and our sister walk down the aisle last night? Because they heard a lesson of comfort. They were reminded how God loves us. They were reminded that even in the depths of pain, God has not abandoned us. Listen. I know that there's times that we have to preach, and I don't know exactly how to say it, but if you're a preacher, you know what I mean. There's times we've got to preach hard. There's times that what I say, that someone or some people don't want to hear. And our task is to preach the truth, all season and out of season. But if our mindset is, man has to always be condemned, we have to break the word. It is also the comfort to build up.
Now, that's what it says to those who are part of the church. But you remember the same chapter, we also got a glimpse of what prophecy, of what the telling God's word is supposed to be, even if the dust comes for the first time. God does. has heard or revealed. It's happened to every one of us that preach the gospel. Someone comes out, and it's pretty often, if we preach the gospel. I'm not talking about wild and happy horse all the time. I'm not talking about venting your disappointedness. I'm not talking about trying to get us to pull back for politics or whatever it might be. I'm talking about if we preach the gospel, people come out regularly and say, have you been looking at our window this week? Because it seems like every Sunday, it seems like you're preaching where we live. That's because the one who created you was the one who gave the message. If we hold up the word of God, the secrets of man's hearts are going to be revealed. And they are going to be convicted. And they are going to be convinced. And they are going to fall down in adoration to God. What a beautiful work God gives us to do. And when I think about how to do it, it kind of lays the palms a little sweaty. It lays us kind of right between a huge burden. Because the truth is, none of us are capable of doing it to the degree that it deserves to be done. But we'll just give the very best we have to give. And God has always been able to work with vessels that will devote their all to Him. And so I want to suggest to you, and I really mean that word, Skyler, as I suggest from here out, these are some things that just come to my mind, and I want to say clearly to you. I am not saying any stretch of imagination. This is the right about it. I'm not sitting down here just brainstorming with other preachers. I love to hear how they come up with things. I love to hear how they carry out certain settings. I love to hear how they get the congregation involved in that study so that it's not just a Sunday activity of worship, but it's a life that they're living. And so that's all I'm doing with you is to say, here's some things that have kind of evolved in the last few years. I've been asking you, there's some things about this that I've burnt not as much as maybe some things in the way I used to preach some before I've done it this way. But I'm still trying to decide that and figure out how to bring maybe some of the best of those two worlds before this way and now then this way. But what we really try hard to do here is make sure that things just don't stand out there on their own. Now, if I'm going to have a friend's body, if I'm going to have a friend's body, then everything up to it has nothing to do with friend's body. Everything left to it has nothing to do with friend's body. Let's build up. Let's have a sermon series that builds up what God would want us to be in the minds of our friends. And then let's have the body. And let's have some kind of follow-up of what God would want us to be. And so what we're doing is we're trying to get a simple thing that covers the year. And it needs to be simple because what we're going to do is we're going to put 12 sub-themes under that theme. And so because of that, we're going to run a four-week series. Now, you say, okay, so they're not about 12 topics on their own. No, because on Sunday night, we'll have 52 other sermons to preach. And so we'll cover a lot of other things also on Sunday night. These are my sins, but they're not about the four-week series. Well, because sometimes we'll take a series on Sunday morning for 4 weeks, and then we'll complete that series for the next 4 weeks on Sunday night. And we'll begin the other series on Sunday morning. And so then, during that particular month, we'll be completing one series and beginning another series. And so there's a lot of different ways that we've tried it, a lot of different ways that it seemed to be effective, at least it seemed to be, and seemed right. And so to give you an idea, this particular handout, I just typed out some details about 2010 and the special values of the projects and etc. that we'd like to. And maybe as I go over, I'm going to read all of this it's a White Sox game. So before next Sunday, everybody read Bibles 1 through 7. And it's coming in with a lot churning in our mind about what God say about wisdom. And so that's great, what you're about to say. But there needs to be so much more than just, hey, I feel a 5-minute sleep there on some morning. But why can't we challenge the people to do it? And how's that going to relate to Monday? And how's that going to be met out within the month? But in the month, that's pretty easy to say, isn't it? What are points to the Brits on Sunday? What are points to the Australians on Sunday? What points to Americans? What are points to the Americans? You know what has blessed me this month? America, graduation is a big deal. And so, in that this month, we don't have, the plan right now is not to have one blessing that is just all about graduation. We've never done that in the past before. But we're going to be talking about wisdom and how in times of transition, what if we could do those in a wise fashion? The second one, we're talking about mothers. Transition right into wisdom. What if every mother could be wise? What difference would that make in the life of a family? What difference would that make in God's family? If every woman in God's family was wise. And so we're wise. I was touching base with her just real quick, but didn't know about something completely nothing about wisdom of single sin and whatever. And she replied back with just a quick line, just a line, and then right on her bed, she said, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that everybody some way. One of our missionaries need financial support. The God is not by any stretch of the imagination all they need. They need emotional and spiritual and social support also. I think that 7 years ago, one of our pastors just emailed the guy and said, "Hey, what is it that you miss from America?" And he said, "I miss seeing the Super Bowl." So by day by the Super Bowl, I put down and tried the care package with notes and other things, and in Africa, he had a black card. And people are telling me, "I've never seen a football game before, a black football game," and they are getting his little hat, and they're watching the football game, and he said it was one of the best nights we've had in a long time. What was that result of? That was the direct result of us saying, "We're going to have South Missions this morning." And we want to have missionaries for a while.
You have first care and written to you.
says, when the world is round and you came up to set a path, when you feel abandoned and all forgotten, hang on. And inside says, the Lord is near. I sent this to a woman that was about 40 years old. Just in the last year, she became sober and dry. She'd been an addict since she was 14. I just wrote my letter in the card there, just telling what it meant to me to know that somebody would battle so long and not give up. The response she sent back was unbelievable. She said things like, "That's the nicest thing anybody has ever done for me." But it all day was wrote about 10 sentences on the front and the back of the card. What if we preach God's word, and at the same time we're preaching God's word, we're giving the people that's hearing that message, opportunities to go out and live that word? Right from, I think it's Episcopal Church, she came up one Sunday. She invested the previous Sunday. She came up the next Sunday afterwards, and she said, "I love this church. I love this church." I said, "Great. I'm glad you love this church. Why are you coming to this church?" And she said, "No, but you don't get it." She said, "I've been in all these high churches. And I said, this is the first church I've ever been to that you can come and hear the message preached. And you can go out and live it and love it." She said, "I never knew you could live the Bible." She said, truth, presented in love,